reading about the progressive steps in bhakti, and I hope by now those who have been attending and have attended this entire session, please read those verses on their own, 16 to 22, if, or they at least understand the stages and they understand how, what is the way to progress. So the first stage is to, the thing is how to get affinity for hearing the Lord's message is by serving the pure devotees. And when we serve the pure devotee, the Lord, who is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart. So it's very important for us to understand that service to Vaishnavas is a very important, is a very important component of our devotional service. And we have to try to start developing that mode of serving the Vaishnavas. And when we serve Vaishnavas sincerely, it also helps us dissolve our false ego gradually. And the more and more we serve the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, the more we are able to, the more we develop this conception of service in our lives, then the more our subtle body also gets dissolved, and gradually we are situated in our true identity. So the service to Vaishnavas is being stressed here in text 16, Shushusho Sakshada Dhanasya. So, Syan Mahasavaya Vitya. Right? And then text 17 talks about how Krishna personally cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the truthful devotee. So then last week we discussed a lot about self-honesty, self-deception and truth, and honesty, and how honesty opens the doors to further honesty and further growth in Krishna consciousness. And I summarized that in my email that went out on the Lalita Sangha email address. And sorry for the distraction, there was something on Skype I was trying to see. Yeah. And then text 18 is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, the Nashta Prayeshu or Bhadreshu. So almost completely destroyed. So as we engage in the process of bhakti and we take shelter of the spiritual master, so all those first, text 16 talks about the first five levels, which is Satam Kripa, mercy of the devotees, Mahat Seva, service to devotees, Shraddha, that Shraddha that is explained here, the Shushusho Shraddha Dhanasya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. The Shraddha explained here is for a man whose faith has developed by serving devotees, man or woman. So by serving devotees, we develop little faith. So that Shraddha is being referred there. And then when there is Shraddha, there is Guru Pada Ashraya, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Guru. And then there is Bhajaneshu Sriha, there is eagerness to worship, engage in the processes of bhakti. And that eagerness comes by taking shelter at the feet of gurus, spiritual masters, not just dikshadan, but shiksha gurus also, and service to the devotees. Each and every devotee is our guru. So text 17 then talks about how by engaging in devotional service, Lord personally comes with a desire for material enjoyment. So here, from the eagerness to hear, follow the practice of remembering, hearing and chanting, and therefore we have to hear and chant very sincerely. And then text 18 is when we become eager to hear, then there is some clearing that is already started in text 17. And in text 18 it is like almost everything has been cleaned up. It's not that everything has gone away, but almost, nasht prayeshu abhadreshu, like almost completely destroyed. But how does that happen? By Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. What is the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya? Service to the person, devotee, as a book Bhagavat. So book Bhagavat we already discussed, hearing Srimad Bhagavat, sorry, person devotee already, person Bhagavat we already discussed, serving the personality of the devotee of the Lord. We have to inculcate this practice, and not in a selfish mode that, hey, when I do this and I get benefit. But actually from, really from our heart, from the place of our real identity of being a servant of the servant of the devotee of the Lord. So being in harmony with that and serving the devotees of the Lord. When we were discussing that verse, we also discussed that service to devotee does not just mean calling acharyas and sannyasis and brahmacharis and Srila Prabhupada disciples or senior devotees home and serving prasad. Serving encompasses a lot of things and a lot of people. It is not just serving prasad to the pure devotees of the Lord. That is a very neophyte conception. And we are all trying very hard to come out of the neophyte conception. Serving means serving through our body, mind and words. Serving the personality, devotee. Which even we meet things like picking up the children from school, dropping them back to school, or helping each other when people are sick. Like, you know, just doing everything and anything that is possible to make your life, to make my life a service to the devotees of the Lord. And the only way we can attract grace from the Lord is by service to the devotees. On our own, we cannot accomplish this mission of spiritual advancement. It is not possible. We need the mercy, we need the grace, we need the prayers of the devotees. And we need to develop love for the devotees of the Lord because they are very dear to Krishna. We cannot love the devotees, how will we love Krishna? If we are judging the devotees, if we are hiding our inner, you know, we may hate the devotee or not like the devotee coming to our house, but from top, you know, like we are showing, no, I'm so happy to have you. No, it has to be from the heart. Inside and outside has to be in harmony. And we may think we are doing a very good job to hide, but it is not, you know, we give out subtle signals that can make the devotee feel that, hey, I'm not required here. So, anyway, you understand what service to devotees means, and it is serving according to our capacity also. One day we cannot become Srivas Thakur, or we just cannot become a very pure devotee in service to the Lord in one day. So you serve according to your nature and you gradually stretch yourself. Your devotional service has to be according to your adhikar, according to your level and position. Position in the sense, you know, to what stage you are in bhakti. Because if you do much more than what you are capable of doing, it will, you burn out. So do it little bit more than what you are capable of doing right now, and gradually keep increasing that little bit more. So every time you should feel pinched. And it should not be like you are being squashed, but you should be feeling that pinch of stretching in your devotional service. So the third text, 18, was a stage of bhakti. Bhakti develops an anarthapagamam, disappearance of obstacles that are created by our own sinful desires and sinful tendencies that are coming as a karmic reaction on the bad karma we have indulged in. So that gradually goes away, and then steadiness comes. Nishtha, tatha nishtha, and then tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobha dayascha ye cita etai rana vidyam sthitam satye prasidati. Text 19, then. So in text 18 it is almost completely destroyed, but text 9 is, you know, the effects of the mode of passion and ignorance which can even impact a devotee at the Brahmana stage, not yet a Vaishnava, but Brahmana stage. You know, they can take us in different directions, the passion and ignorance. It cannot be fixed in our service to the Lord. So even that goes away gradually. And then after the nishtha, there is ruchi and there is asakti. And then we discussed about how in ruchi stage also the mind can go in different directions, but it is brought back by the strength of the devotee's intelligence. But in the stage of asakti, when the mind wanders, it is not the intelligence that kicks in to bring the mind back, but it is that firm attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. So right now we don't have any of these things, so let's not fake it also. Let's just do the basics of hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam nicely, serving the devotees of the Lord nicely, chanting very, very sincerely, and being self-honest and not self-deceiving. How many of us are even aware in single interaction of how we could have done better? Or what? And the theme column has, you know, what is the main theme of that verse? And what is Prabhupada's main point in that verse? For some of those, I've written it that in that particular cell, but for some of those, I've linked it to another blog post, which you all can read in detail. Like, so we mostly cover the points under the theme. And I also want to cover the third column, which is Level in Bhakti by VCT. So VCT is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we study also, I mean, we don't study, but like we don't have to, but we should first focus on this reading Srila Prabhupada's purports very carefully. But Prabhupada quotes a lot from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that, he has explained the different levels in bhakti. And there are about 12 or more levels that he has expanded on. So last Tuesday we read the 9 levels of bhakti, which were starting right from Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava and Prema. So we covered that these are the 9 stages of bhakti, and we are still hovering between Bhajana Kriya and Anartha Nivritti, and within that there are so many anarthas that cause unsteadiness. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has expanded those 9 stages into further more granular stages. So generally we just refer to the 9 stages, but then students of Srimad Bhagavatam also know these different stages that are mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So the 16 to 22 shows a gradual progression from Shraddha to Prema, all the 9 stages. Right from verse 16 to verse 22, so the explanation of how one advances through the 9 stages of bhakti is given. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given further granular understanding of those stages. So text 16 itself, you see how a devotee progresses in the first 5 stages that have been listed by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So I'd like to cover that because it gives more clarity to the gradual progression in bhakti for all of us. So the first step is Satam Kripa, the mercy of devotees. So the opportunity to even serve arises from the causeless mercy of the devotees. Right, it says Satam Kripa. Just 1 minute. Yeah, and then the second stage is, we get the, even just to serve the devotees, we need the mercy. So it is the causeless mercy. And we may get it through Agyata Sukriti or anything, it is just causeless. The second stage is Mahat Seva. So once one gets the mercy of the devotees and gets the opportunity to serve, then we graduate to serving the devotees, you know, wanting to serve the devotees. And once we serve the devotees, then faith develops. And the faith at this stage, Chakravarti Thakur explains as, for a man in whom faith has developed by serving devotees, like through Satam Kripa, by serving the devotees, one develops some faith. And then when a person develops faith, then a person seeks shelter at the feet of a guru. And that, in the verse itself, we have Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanath. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Punya Tirtha Nishevanath means a Tirtha means guru. And then, so this Guru Padasya, so basically the person, when his faith develops, so then he must take shelter at the lotus feet of a guru. And when the person takes shelter at the lotus feet of a guru, then bhajaneshu spriha starts. Eagerness to worship also begins, because he is serving the guru, serving the instructions of the guru, serving the devotees. So then a person becomes eager to hear by taking shelter at the lotus feet of guru, and then he eventually develops taste. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has further explained how, you know, we graduate the different stages. And text 17, and he says that the Lord, we read, right? So a person who has developed a service attitude to the devotees, then he develops an urge to hear. And then for that person who has developed an urge to hear his messages, if that urge is there, and the Lord personally removes the abhadranis, the anarthas that cause unsteadiness. And then we discuss those 6 anarthas that initially cause unsteadiness. There are many, many more anarthas. And then we discuss those 6 anarthas that initially cause unsteadiness. So text 17 contains that one stage. It continues. Bhajanesu Spriha, that began in text 16, that continues and becomes more solid in text 17. So just by serving the guru, one develops, and the devotees, all devotees are our gurus also, one develops an eagerness to hear, and then from that eagerness to hear, because that devotee is hearing sincerely and the Lord is also cleansing, then by hearing one develops an attraction for chanting and remembering the Lord. And what did we read about remembering the Lord in text 15? Text 15 or 14, when one remembers the Lord, then one is able to come out of the knots of material existence. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, so much therefore depends upon our eagerness to hearing and chanting. Once there was a seminar done by Rohini Priya Prabhu in our temple on, I think on Vaishnava relationships. And in that, the first thing he covered was, how do we know when a devotee is advanced? So we all spend more than an hour giving different points. So that person is self-controlled, that person follows the four regulative principles sincerely, the person knows the Vaishnava etiquette very nicely, the person does a lot of services, the person takes care of family nicely, this. We went on and on and on and on and on. We came up with 20 points or more. And in the end, Govindakriya Prabhu went through each one of them. And he finally said that the advancement of a devotee is measured by his or her increasing desire towards hearing and chanting. So, because everything depends upon that, and when a devotee is more and more focused on the desire, when he is more and more doing hearing and chanting, then that devotee is considered as advanced, because so much depends upon just our eagerness to hear and chant. With hearing and chanting nicely, automatically all the other stages of bhakti follow. Automatically the Lord, because we are putting in an effort to act on what we are hearing, does not mean just mechanical hearing. Hearing means active hearing. When we are hearing a lecture, we are trying to take points and see how can we apply those points in our life. That is hearing. Hearing is not just turning on a lecture and that's it. No, we have to act on what we have heard. So hearing includes the act of acting on what we have heard. So if we are hearing and chanting nicely, automatically the other advancement follows. The Lord personally cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from our heart. We are gradually able to reach anartha nivritti. Once we are anartha nivritti, then all the unsteadiness is gone away, because there are no more material desires causing anarthas that are pulling us in different directions, and then we are firmly fixed in nishtha, steadiness. And then ruchi follows, taste follows, and then asakti follows, strong attachment followed by bhava and prema. So now today we'll cover text 18. And text 18 is about what happens to a person who has become very eager to hear and is hearing very sincerely and nicely. The Lord is also cleansing the desires for material enjoyment from the heart. Now, the thing that I've shared about Sachinandan Prabhu, now the Lord will only cleanse if we want it to be cleansed. So, you know, we may observe many things in ourselves as we gradually go further in the path of bhakti. We do more and more hearing and chanting and serving of devotees. We will see different things in our heart and we will observe our own nature. But many times we give ourselves very nice glorified reasons as to why we are like that and how we did not know better, or how, you know, this was the best we could do in all those situations. Fine, we didn't know better before. That was the best we could do before. But now we know a little better. It's very important to tease through those different discoveries that, you know, Krishna is showing to us in our face, that hey, you have this dirt here. Krishna is not just going to come and cleanse, like some cleaner comes and cleanses and then he gives them money, and the money we give them is what we are hearing. Not like that. Krishna is going to show, hey, I see this, do you want this to be cleaned? And you go, yes. You go, yes, Krishna cleans it. But then if you go, like, you give a very faint yes, because you're still attached to that pattern of thinking or that particular behavior, or you still think you're going to get some pleasure out of that thing, so I'm not going to claim that. So we need to become very eager to hear, act on what we have heard, and like really work on ourselves. So when we do that, we serve the devotees and we hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then begins the clearing of the material desires from our heart. We read text 18. Amrita Mataji, would you like to read the Sanskrit and the translation? And Shalini Talwar Mataji, if you can read the purport.
Yes, Mataji. नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर भवति नैष्टिकी. ट्रांसलेशन बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट इज ऑलमोस्ट कंप्लीटली डिस्ट्रॉयड एंड लविंग सर्विस एंड टू द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड who is praised with the transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye. Srila Prabhupada. Shall I start reading the purport, Mataji? Yes. Okay. Here is the remedy for... Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them or either of them can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavata book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually these are facts explained by Srila Narada Deva, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuffs left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality Srila Narada Deva. These are miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavatas, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavata, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavata, and the combination of these two Bhagavatas will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Hare Krishna Mataji. Krishna, thank you Amuda Mataji and Shalini Mataji. So this text 18 is also very important. We always chant this verse, Srimatam Svatata Krishna, this text 17 and text 18 before we read Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this thing, there are a few points to be noted. Of course, the person Bhagavata and the book Bhagavata, and also all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. It doesn't say everything is fully destroyed at this stage. You know, whatever anarthas are there, even at this stage, not everything goes away. It says that only it's almost completely destroyed. The prayeshu, you know, almost to nil, still something left. And that will get cleansed in the next stage of bhakti. And that we will see in the next verse. So here the main points are the description of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So Prabhupada is telling that the association of the devotee, the remedy to remove all the inauspicious things in the heart is association of the Bhagavatas. But for that, we have to understand what association means. So association, as we discussed last time, as all of us were discussing, it's not just some, at the mundane level, you know, how we deal with people in the material world, just networking with each other, or just hanging around with each other. It's more actually deeper than that. It runs much deeper than that, as Sundari Mataji was emphasizing last time. It is supposed to be based on service and supposed to be based on a relationship that helps each other grow in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's a mundane relationship that helps us in our sense gratification. So association has to be based on service and on helping each other in growing in Krishna consciousness. So helping each other in growing in Krishna consciousness means what? We should be able to reveal our mind to each other. We should be able to share, you know, what we are hearing, what we are reading, what is inspiring us in Krishna consciousness. And also be at least with a few devotees who are close to us. Not everyone can be, you know, we can't have, I mean, we'll have deep friendships with a few. We'll have friendships with everyone and deep friendships with a few where we feel safe to be able to share and expose ourselves. So we should be able to share that, hey, I'm working on this quality. I'm trying to improve on this. Hey, I messed up over here and I need help. You know, so by the devotees, by the association, we get strength from each other. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse, I don't remember the verse, neither do I remember the purport word to word, the translation word to word. But the essence of that, what do the devotees discuss when they meet? And the devotees discuss that, hey, how much of the sense gratification that you have left, and how much of mine is still left, and what are you doing to work on it, and what am I doing to work on it, and how can I help you, and how can you help me? So that is the discussion that devotees, in one shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, all this is explained. So that is what we have to do. And then Prabhupada explains, so this Nashta Prayeshu or Bhadvireshu, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Nityam Daily Bhagavata, the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So how do we serve the book Bhagavat? By deeply reading Srimad Bhagavatam and studying Srila Prabhupada's purports. We are all good students, we are all studied very hard to be wherever we are in our lives right now. So we all know how to study. So we should be studying Prabhupada's books and his purports with much, much care and attention than we have even read our educational books or any books we read at work. Care and attention means, you know, really praying to Srila Prabhupada, please speak to me, Srila Prabhupada, through your books. I really want to work on myself. I really want to please you. You have put in so much in reading the book. I want to please you by reading these books and by taking some positive actions in my life by reading your books. So really reading Srila Prabhupada's books very nicely, that Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada has written the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, and how much he struggled even in his last days when he was about to leave his body. His body was just skin and bones, but he was lying on the bed and dictating like Bhishma Dev, the warriors. In the end he was dictating. He was putting so much effort. He would wake up at 2 a.m. and from 2 a.m. till early morning he would keep writing, dictating. And he did so much. So there is some purpose because of which Prabhupada put so much attention in these books. Like when I was reading Lilamrit, so in the Lilamrit so many times, you know, as the movement was expanding, and then there were so many different issues that Prabhupada had to tackle. You know, devotees did not even know how to deal with money, who is cheating whom. You know, somebody signed a deal, but then actually the paperwork was not right, so they paid the money but didn't get the building. And like Prabhupada had to be involved everywhere, all over the world. There were so many mistakes being made. Not mistakes, but basically the devotees were simple. They were all very young, so they had not so much experience. And Prabhupada would be so upset at that time, and he would say, I don't want to manage all these things. I want to write all of these books before I leave this planet. Why can't you all take care of the management? Because I want to finish writing all these books, finish writing Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada wrote it with so much eagerness. Why? So we have to, there is a purpose because of which he wrote. We may not understand that purpose right now, but it is important for us to read his books because he wrote all these books for ourselves. And we don't want to, then you know, this is through reading his books also. Then we don't have to feel, oh, you know, Srila Prabhupada disciples got his association, we don't have Srila Prabhupada association. You can get Srila Prabhupada association every single day if you read his books. You will really understand what his purpose was in setting up this movement and what does he want us to do with our own lives, with our families, and without everything. The entire science of Krishna consciousness and how to preach Krishna consciousness has been explained in his books. So we have to read and hear very, very great attention. So that is Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya. And then the book person Bhagavat is a person who lives his life for the book Bhagavat. So to serve the devotees of the Lord very sincerely. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this particular stage as, like he talks about three things here. There are three stages here. And he says there is bhakti. So he says that the phrase bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. The bhakti bhavati naishtiki means it contains the word bhakti. Devotional service, right? So actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes no comment on this verse, but he says that it denotes bhakti, starts a little bit. And anartha pagamam, so there is some disappearance of obstacles. So how is that? One thing is our own sinful tendencies go away, material desires are going gradually. Fully not gone, almost completely destroyed. So the material desires, you know, which take us in different directions and pull us in different directions, they are not there. So we are not pulled in different directions. So then those obstacles of devotional service go away. And the second thing is our sinful reactions are also getting vanquished. Right? So there's disappearance of obstacles. So the phrase nashta prayeshu abhadreshu in the verse means that inauspicious things, including the nama pradas, are almost completely destroyed. But it is not fully destroyed. It's just almost completely destroyed. And once the obstacles go away that cause unsteadiness in our devotional service, then steadiness develops. Tatha nishtha, then steadiness is achieved. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that in Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, the word Naishtiki means steadiness, Nishtha. Because all that is troublesome to the heart has been overcome, and therefore Nishtha, steadiness in devotional service develops. I think I will leave it open for discussion. I can cover the next verse, but it will be nice to hear everyone's thoughts and how these verses are affecting our hearts. And if there is something that we have practiced or we are trying to practice, and if you think it's beneficial for other people, please share. If you're trying to practice and you need the strength of other devotees and their prayers and blessings, please share. Please share whatever comes to your heart regarding these verses that we have read. So as far as I know, we have Nepa and Madhavi Thati on the conference on the Skype. And we have Sundari Devi Dasi, we have Sudha Chenaru, we have Sarita Perla, we have Shalini Talwar, we have Amutha Mataji on the conference call. I am sure I'm missing somebody. Please announce yourself.
I'm trying, but I'm failing. And I've been failing, failing, and failing.
So then I was just thinking that my only hope is service to devotees and hearing the holy name and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and somehow magically something will happen. I was hoping for some miracle. But then I was reading Satyananda Maharaj's quote, and you know, I have read these quotes before also, that unless I desire to remove them, those things will not go away. And right now if I remove those two, three things, then Krishna will give me darshan of some more things. So unless I remove these three, two, three things that are in view right now, I will not get the darshan of the other things that I need to remove. And then, you know, subsequently the other things and the other things and the other things. So there's no hope for me in anartha nivritti. So when I'm telling that devotee, when I feel like an utter failure and I've tried and it doesn't work and, you know, I'm giving up and I don't even want to commit, I just want to understand why I'm not able to fix it and all that. And then my devotee told me that, you know, when you're saying this, you know, you're coming from a point of weakness. You know, that, oh, I'm so weak and I can't work on this and, you know, it's not going to happen. And she said, internally you are deciding, when you're saying this, that means internally you have decided that you're okay if this thing doesn't get fixed. So I said, I'm not okay. She said, no, there is some lingering attachment that is keeping you still rooted to those two, three things that you need to fix. And you still think that you're getting something out there that you don't want to lose out on. And if you fix those things, then you will lose out on that. And then she said, and she was telling me that, you don't want to do this from a place of weakness. You want to remove those things from a place of self-love. And that self-love is where you think that I am a spirit soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. And these three qualities that I'm seeing right now are not a part, not the nature of my soul. As a soul, I am the opposite of these three things. You see, if I have a anatta of being, say, envious, then as part of my soul, envy doesn't exist in a pure spirit soul. It's only covered because of our attachment and attraction to Maya, so that this is not my real nature. This envy that is there, or this lust that is there, or this greed that is there, this is not my real nature. And for my own advancement, and because I love myself and I want to move further in devotional service and I want to do the right thing for myself, I am going to make a commitment that I will not do these things. I will not act upon these particular urges of mine. So I am going to make a commitment to myself, even if I fail, but I am going to stay committed to fixing these things. And she was telling me that when she does that in her life, it helps her. And she said it doesn't mean that she'll be able to fix it in one go. But it's definitely a much stronger way of saying the same thing than saying that, hey, I'm not going to commit because I keep failing and I feel embarrassed about failing and blah, blah, blah. This is a much stronger way of saying it, that I owe it to myself as a pure eternal spirit soul that I am going to act exactly according to my nature. And these lust, anger, greed and envy are not a part of my nature. And whatever your dirty linen may be, I'm not quoting my dirty linen exactly here, but whatever it may be for you, I am going to make this commitment to myself from a place of self-love and from a place of where I really desire Krishna, and I'm going to work on these things. Even if I fail, I'm going to try again. I'm not going to give this up because I really want Krishna and I really want to go further in my devotional life to Him. So I learned this week, and I haven't yet made those, I haven't yet put my head into, like, you know, I need some time off, which I haven't got ever since I had that discussion, where I can really spend time with myself and write this down, make this positive connection with my own eternal nature, and not act out of self-envy, where I do things that are not in line with my eternal nature. I don't want to act artificially here. I really want to act from the position of spirit soul. So I beg for the prayers and blessings of all the Vaishnavas, that please bless me that I can work on those things, that Krishna can show me more, and then I can say yes to Krishna, that yes, I'm ready to leave this, I'm done with this. Please, yes, you're showing this to me, thank you. Yes, please remove this. I can't remove this myself, but yes, I want to remove this. So I need your prayers and blessings that someday I'm bold enough to even share what that nonsense in my heart is openly with all of you. I'm not yet there. But please definitely pray for me. I will ask each one of you if you have prayed for me. And I will pray for all of you. Anything else anyone would like to share, or we'll go on to the next verse? Alright, so Amrita Mataji and Shalini Talwar Mataji. So Amrita Mataji, can you please read the Sanskrit and the translation? And Shalini Talwar Mataji will read the purport.
I don't know the meter, Mataji. I'll just read. Is that okay? ओके तदा रजस्तमोभाव कामलोभदयाश्चये चेत एतेर अनाविद्धं स्थितं सद्वे प्रसिद्धति. ट्रांसलेशन: As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, shall I read the purport by Srila Prabhupada? A living being in his normal constitutional position is fully satisfied in spiritual bliss. This state of existence is called Brahma Bhuta or Atmanandi, or the state of self-satisfaction. This self-satisfaction is not like the satisfaction of the inactive fool. The inactive fool is in the state of foolish ignorance, whereas the self-satisfied Atmanandi is transcendental to the material state of existence. This stage of perfection is attained as soon as one is fixed in irrevocable devotional service. Devotional service is not inactivity, but the unalloyed activity of the soul. The soul's activity becomes adulterated in contact with matter, and as such, the diseased activities are expressed in the form of lust, desire, hankering, inactivity, foolishness, and sleep. The effect of devotional service becomes manifest by complete elimination of these effects of passion and ignorance. The devotee is fixed at once in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudeva, or the state of unmixed sattva or shuddha sattva. Only in this shuddha sattva state can one always see Krishna eye to eye by dint of pure affection for the Lord. A devotee is always in the mode of unalloyed goodness, therefore he harms no one. But the non-devotee, however educated he may be, is always harmful. A devotee is neither foolish nor passionate. The harmful, foolish and passionate cannot be devotees of the Lord. However, they may advertise themselves as devotees by outward dress. A devotee is always qualified with all the good qualities of God. Quantitatively, such qualifications may be different, but qualitatively, both the Lord and his devotee are one and the same. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. This verse is further cleansing. Next 18 was almost completely destroyed. And this, that, you know, it is tada rajas tamo bhava. So the modes, the effect of the rajaguna and the tamaguna, the mode of passion and ignorance, goes away. So Gurujan Prabhu writes in his book, Surrendering to His Lotus Feet, about this verse. He says that text 19 indicates that it is difficult to advance under the grip of passion and ignorance. And from passion comes distraction, right? Because our material desires take us so many places. Our intelligence becomes many-branched. Yavasayatmika buddhi. Bahushaka. Our intelligence becomes bahushaka, many-branched. From passion comes distraction. From ignorance comes sleepiness. And many more negative qualities such as anger, greed, envy and illusion. It says, right? Kama lobha dayastige. So, when we engage further in devotional service and we have reached nishtha stage, almost everything has gone away and we keep sticking on and continuing in the process, then even the effects of modes of passion and ignorance go away. The devotee is situated in goodness. Kritam sattve prasidati. So the devotee is sitting, is situated in the mode of goodness. Right? So the devotee becomes, once these effects go away, then Prabhupada writes, so the devotee is at once fixed in the mode of goodness, and he makes further progress to rise to the position of Vasudev, or the unmixed sattva, or Shuddha sattva. So, this position of Vasudev means you are situated in the transcendental mode of goodness, and it's also symbolical in a way that we have to be in the position of Vasudev so that Krishna is born to us, like Lord Krishna was born as a son of Vasudev. So we have to be situated in the Shuddha Sattva so that the Lord is born in our heart. Every day can be Janmashtami. Every day the Lord is born in our heart, and the Lord is always bigger celebration. And that devotee becomes fully happy, prasidati, right? Like, I was reading one article, just do it by His Grace Mahatma Prabhu. And Mahatma Prabhu will be here in the last week of September, and he'll be teaching the forgiveness workshop. There'll be a workshop on, which will help us give up our resentments and help us forgive ourselves and also other people. I'm a big fan of Mahatma Prabhu myself. Please make sure you are here and you take his association and you are part of that workshop. He's done that workshop at various different places all over the world. It's very, very popular, and he doesn't just teach you some points about forgiveness. He actually makes you, forces you to forgive people in that workshop itself. So what he tells is that, you know, we think that by, again, going back to holding on to the attachment, as I was quoting my own example, I'm sorry to talk about myself, but, you know, when, like I'm saying that, you know, I don't want to leave that thing. Krishna was asking me, do you want to leave it? And I'm like, keep it. Because I think if I keep it, then I'll get something out of it that I'm used to, and that will make me happy. But actually, none of my material desires and my satisfaction is ever going to make me happy. It only causes more and more trouble. Right? And I feel by holding on to those things, I am happy. But actually, I will be fully happy when Vivaradat Tama Bhava Kama Loba Dayashtaya. So when I follow the practices of devotional service very sincerely, hearing, chanting, service to the devotees, and work and show Krishna that desire and sincerity that, hey, please remove this stuff from my heart, then I will be situated in actual happiness. So the remaining stages is like, so we reach the nishtha, tatha nishtha in the previous verse. Then after nishtha, there is taste. Why is there taste for Krishna? Because the heart is not pierced by sense objects. Right? And then we develop distaste for the sense objects. It's not that, you know, you become neutral, but you develop a distaste to it. And then you are able to develop some actual spiritual taste, ruchi. And it's mentioned even in text 16, Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I mean, it's not technical, I won't go into that. But he treats it as a result of Guru Padashraya and Vajaneshu's Kriya. It is like some initial taste that we get, you know, some initial taste because of which we continue. But this is like full-blown spiritual taste that comes over here. When once there is taste, then there is firm attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. So we become fixed, asakti, firm attachment. Now, even in the stage of ruchi, one's mind may wander. So see, the mind is going to wander, even there. So imagine where we are right now and how much work we have to do. And then we have to compare it with how sincerely we are exhibiting the limbs of devotional service. The hearing, the chanting, the service to the devotees, visiting the dham, and yeah, I forgot the fifth one again today. Sorry. So we have to see, you know, how much work we have to do. We don't have to do some variety of work. We just have to hear nicely, chant nicely, serve nicely. We just have to do that very sincerely. Then all these things will happen. And at every stage, you have to continue doing that. It's not that, oh, once you're at ruchi, you have to do something different. Once you're at nishtha, again, something even more different. Asakti, even more. No, same thing you continue doing and you'll get these different results. So the next stage, asakti, is different. So if the mind does wander, the strength of our attraction to Krishna pulls it back. So the difference between ruchi and asakti is, in ruchi also the mind may wander. And then we have to drag it back under control by the strength of our intelligence. You know, you intelligently think, hey, this is not good for me. I can't go and do this. I can't be like, you know, this is wrong for me. This is not good for my spiritual life. So that is a different type of controlling and dragging the mind back. But at the stage of asakti, firm attachment, the mind comes back, you bring the mind back by the strength of the attraction and love that is now, the attraction that is developing in your heart towards Krishna. I will end for today, and because it's too much discussion in one day, these verses are very, very, very important for us, as they explain how we advance in bhakti. The different stages of bhakti are explained here. And I don't want to cover too many verses in one day for this section, because I want all of us to, these verses to stay in our heads, and so that we can think a little bit more about it. I will be forwarding an article to all of you. I had done it earlier also, but now, since it is in context, it will be more helpful. There's an article by His Grace Mahatma Prabhu, who is also now an initiating guru. He has recently started initiating also. He is a Grihastha. He has, I think, a 12 or a 14-year-old daughter. We met her in Mayapur. And his wife is also a very nice teacher, very nice lady. Very nice, Mataji. I don't know if she will be coming along with him, but she has her own preaching services. She has this website called as Women of Bhakti. Then look at that. She's also made a DVD, a documentary. So there's an article by his Mahatma Prabhu, that the title of the article is Just Do It. Now, he's not talking about just act on your sense gratification, but he's talking about how to deal with our demons. Like, you know, these anarthas, these deeply seated anarthas that we have, and when we see them, then we are not able to give it up. It's, you know, the same thing that I was talking about, my own struggle. And he's talking about that, you know, we don't have to think so much, like, you know, I'm thinking so much about all of these things. I just have to do the right thing. You know, I just have to do the right thing. So he gives an example that, you know, somebody's like, oh, I'm not able to get up early, I've been trying for so many years, and I'm not able to do it, and blah, 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 and I don't know how to fix it. Somebody asking a question to Mahatma Prabhu, and Mahatma Prabhu said, what a fix this problem, just start getting up early. You know, as Ramapad Maharaj always says, he said that in many lectures, that when he hears something good, just start doing it. You don't have to think so much. Just, it's a good habit, just start doing it. So fix, you see, oh, this is something that needs to be fixed, just fix it. Don't think so much. And he says, so just do it. No one else is going to do it for you. This whole article is like hand-holding us into just doing certain things that we should do, and I'll forward that to all of you. Would anyone like to share anything? Any discussion?
This is Bipa Mataji, and I think this attitude, if you like something, just do it. I guess that's what my attitude is, and it somehow helps me rather than thinking and, you like it, just do it. And I trust myself that since I like it, it has to be good. That just helps me in progressing in anything I do, whether it's bhakti or whatever I do. I don't know if that helps anybody, but I think I like that point, that just do it. Getting up early, as Mataji said, that, you know, just do it. Nobody's going to do it for you. And if you're not able to do it, thinking about why, and, you know, just adding extra few points around it, it's just, I guess it's just wasting time. That's what I feel. Those are my thoughts.
So we have somebody who just does things, so we should also follow her and, you know, do it. Just do things, and I need to follow this too. So one thing is that devotees just do it is applicable to the things that we have heard about from our superiors that are positive in our Krishna consciousness and positive for bhakti. And that is what we want to align ourselves with. And, you know, just do those that we hear that are positive for us. And we must also share, like, something if we are confused, and we should discuss with devotees before just doing it. So, thank you very much. Is there anyone else?
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Amuta. The one thing I that inspiring most today is, like, you have to have the desire of a pure heart, pure love for Krishna, then he personally cleanses it. You know, I've been thinking about that, why I'm not able to give up those some of the things I have. And then today I think I got the answer, because I'm not having the strong desire to remove them from my heart. Then even if I hear, why is that not making, why there is no transformation of any changes in my heart, now I really got the answer. Thank you. Hari Bol.
Krishna, yeah, so we don't see it as anartha. Anartha is something that has no value. We see those things as artha, something that has value, and that's why we hold on to them. But we don't, so we, even if we don't have love for Krishna right now, love for Krishna will come much later, but at least through our intelligence we know this is the right thing and I want to go in this direction. That is the real artha and not this.
Yeah, that's true. So far I can say I don't think I have that much attraction or anything. All I feel is like this is the right thing to do and this is the right path to show my kids. So I want to follow it. But I assume that whatever things I don't want to give up, I'm so much attached that I feel like they are somehow give me happiness, somehow they mean some value to me, so I'm holding on to it. But when I introspect deeply, I see these are the hindrance in my path towards bhakti. I don't want it. At some point I feel I don't want it, but most of the time I feel like they are somehow going to give me happiness and I don't want to give those up. But today I was thinking like that one point hit me, wow, this is the one, because I'm having that strong desire. I don't have that strong desire to remove them. That is the reason I'm not able to overcome those, because I'm too much attached to those, as you said. Thank you, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Thank you. Real happiness will not come from those anarthas, but it will come from serving Krishna, hearing and chanting and leaving those things out. See, as I said, when we leave those things out, then real happiness will come. When the effects of those things go away, that is when real happiness comes. So, and I'm just speaking for myself. If I'm thinking that by holding on to those things, I'm going to get something and that's going to make me happy, then that's not the case. Real happiness has already been defined in Srimad Bhagavatam here. And it's only when the effects, Nashta Prayeshu or Bhadreshu, happen, Ramanantada, Rajastamo, Bhava, Kama, Loba, Dayasriya happens, then Sitam Sattve Prasidati, then we will be situated in happiness. Anything else from anyone? Thank you, Meepa and Amita Madhuri, for sharing. Anyone else? All right. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. God Premanande Hari Hari Bol. We will meet again on Meet in the Sense Hub conference call again on Tuesday, same time, 11:30 to 12:30. And see you all in the evening for Adashtami celebrations.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you.